adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. How honored we are that you would grace us with your presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come, fill this place. Piangatara hukoshe eke pahakatara. Piheke pahasata huroko iiteke pas. Pihakatara hurokota. Piendeke pahasata. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Accept. Accept your praises. Accept it, O God. We wait on you. Teach us how to wait on you. If busyness was holiness, then we'd all be saints, God. Teach us to take time out for you and you alone. Let us have a place that we can take our time out with you. Thank you, God. Thank you for being our Father. How honored we are to be called your children. How honored. How honored. How honored. I love waiting on him. When we pray, we talk to him. But when we meditate, he talks to us. I love that part. I've said my stuff. And I'm waiting for his approval. I love the part. I just enjoy this now. God will anoint anybody. but very few he approves. And I want to be approved of him. I just don't want it to be another ministry. I want his stamp on it. It's approved. It's approved. I know you're looking at me going like, where is this guy from? What's he all about? I'm glad you asked. I live in Houston, in Pearland. There's advantages of living here in Texas. When I go to a Mexican restaurant, my name is Julio. I tell them, Señor, I'm running a little late. Could you find me a table really quick? They look at me and they say, you are one of us. We find you a table. My wife always says, one of these days you're going to get caught. I tell her, as long as the color works, I'm going to use it. I'm originally from India. And you're going like, no, you can't be from India. We have Indians that live here. I get to travel all over the United States and people come up to me and they say, you know, I'm so glad we understood you because my doctor's name is so-and-so. He's from India. Until this day, we can't figure out what our health problem is. So if I were to be speaking to you like an Indian, you would not understand a word I would be saying. So I learned to communicate. Is that okay with you? I grew up in Calcutta. Calcutta is the size of Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. It's 9 miles long, 6 miles wide, with a greater population of Calcutta, over 18 million people. There's 1,000 to a water faucet, 500 to a toilet. There's more than 400,000 people to a square mile. 80% of Calcutta is slums. When I'm talking about toilets, I'm not talking about the toilets you have in the United States of America. These are open sewers. That's where I grew up, and that's where I went. I grew up under a father who was a desperate man in his desperate search for God. My father became a Hindu. He became a Muslim. He became a Buddhist. He could not find answers in any of these gods. My father became a Satanist. My father would go and sleep in the graveyards where the Hindus would burn their dead, and he would do his witchcraft in some way trying to satisfy his mind and his soul, but nothing happened. My father was an alcoholic. Whatever he would get his hands on, he would drink it away. He would come home at nights, drunk, stinking, smelling. Mom would put her hands into his pockets, and there would be no money. She would get a hold of all five of us, three sisters and two brothers. She would tell us, we're going to get to sleep tonight. We'll get to eat tomorrow. As I would lay my little mat out on the streets of Calcutta, holding onto my stomach, wondering, why my dad drank my dinner money? Did he care enough for us? Was there any hope for any one of us? What's going to become of our life? Would somebody just bring us a little hope? Would somebody just give us one meal a day? Would somebody just bring us something that we could hang on to? Oh, but that one day came. It came in the most incredible package. It's called missions. Because you see, if a church that does not believe in missions should not exist, it should close its doors because it's just another country. Club. It's the heart of God. One of the greatest missionaries that ever graced planet Earth. His name is Jesus Christ. The thing that I love about Jesus, he's never asked us to do anything. He has not done it himself, who left the thrones of heaven to come down to earth, die on the cross. That same Jesus began to influence the young and the old to go to different parts of the world. And one of the couples that he influenced to come to my side of the world, the names of the late Dr. Mark Buntain and his lovely wife, Huldah, who came to my side of the world on October 6, 1954, as they stood foot in the ports of Calcutta. Of Mark Buntain, seeing the destruction that this madman by the name of Satan had brought onto this nation. He drew a line in the sand and sent a notice by hanging a lamp on the doorpost of hell and began to start a ministry. In the first 100 years, the first church was built in Calcutta, India, called the Assemblies of God Church. And something happened in that church that changed the course of our destiny and our future forever. Oh, you got to understand, in our churches, we don't have air conditioning. You know, so the windows are wide open, the fan blows the hot air from one room to the next. It's 10,000 degrees in there. And we all sweat, and the place has a certain air about it, but we don't know no difference, man. Well, we would just sit there. But the only thing that I never understood about this Mark Buntain, who I never called pastor because he was like a father image to me, so I always called him Uncle Mark. I said, so one day when I was a teenager, out of curiosity, I wanted to ask him. I said, because when this man would preach, man, he would only preach in one volume, and it was loud. So I asked him, I said, Uncle Mark, because we're born in third world, we're poor, why do you think we're deaf? So he looked at me, being older than I am, And so, you know, he asked me the question. He said, do you like the music loud? Oh, yes. You know, when we were teenagers, man, growing up in India, you know, you can be from the third world, first world, teenagers, man, we loved our music loud. We didn't care what the words were, as long as it was loud and had a beat. Oh, boy, we felt closer. We were tight with God. And I said, oh, yeah, don't ever stop that. Because it should be so loud, man. Back of your hair just stood straight out. Didn't need no gel, nothing. Oh, but I said, oh, no. He said, you know, that's why. He said, you see, we're not singing for the people that are inside the church. We're singing for the people that are outside the church. He said, that's why. He said, I preach loud. He said, we're not preaching for the people that are inside the church. We're preaching for the people that are outside the church. I'm so glad he had that concept, because you see, one day my father, in his drunken stupor, was wandering down the streets of Calcutta, heard music coming out of this place. He stumbled in and found out it was free. He thought, I gotta check it out. Free, good music. There's something wrong with these people. So he sat in the back there. I'm so glad the deacons and the elders and the ushers did not kick him out, because he did not look right, smell right. They let him sit back there. He heard this music, and after a little while, he saw this great big white man get up, passionately talk about a Jesus. He thought, who is this God? I don't need another God in my life. I've got Muhammad, I've got Krishna, I've got Buddha, all the isms in my life. Look at the mess we're in. They didn't even have the courtesy of giving nothing back to us. We're just dying. I've got nothing to give to this Jesus Christ. Everything I have, I've given. What a mess we're in. He thought this was a really good time for him to get up and leave. And so when he tried to get up to leave, he could not move in his seat. And the more he tried, the more stuck he got. And all of a sudden, he was really afraid. Then he realized he was sober. Now he was really afraid. He began to argue with this Jesus. He said, who are you, Jesus? All the gods that I am serving are trying to make their way to heaven. Who are you, Jesus, that you would leave the thrones of heaven to come down to earth to die on a cross for me? Who are you? While he was arguing with this Jesus, just then he saw a bright light on the right side of his body, and God began to reveal every one of his sins like he was watching a movie. All the people that had died because of his witchcraft and the destruction on his family and friends, he did not like the looks of his past. None of us do. But then he heard a voice from heaven. And that voice is active this morning. Because it's that same voice of yesterday, and it's of today, and it'll be there forever. And this is what the voice said. He said, if you do not give your life to me today, you are doomed forever. Something shot my dad clean out of his seat. He made his way to the altar, not as pretty as this one, but he knelt down and he asked this Jesus to come into his heart and change his life forever. And from that day, ladies and gentlemen, our destiny, our future was changed forever, because the head of the household had made it right with God. And then from then on, there were no ands, ifs, or buts. We went to church every day. And I still remember that Sunday. I was 8 years old. I followed my dad, my mom, my sisters, and my little brother. We followed dad at the altar and we gave our hearts to Jesus. And I've never look back since. I know you're looking at me and wondering, what are you trying to say? Can I ask you a question? How many of you have been giving to missions? Can I see your hand? Now I want to ask you another question. Be honest with me. We're in God's house. How many of you wondered what happened to your money? Can I see your hand? Boy, I love you guys, man. We're going shopping tomorrow. They don't want accountability for their money. Jokes aside, but this is what happened to your money. I am the product of missions. I am your investment. Never realizing that I would live in a place called the United States of America, God gave me the most incredible wife. I'm a little prejudiced, but this prejudice is good. My wife, Riet, come to the United States of America, working in the corporate world. October 6, 1996, God asked for my job and said, would you tell them? I said, who, Jesus? He said, would you tell America that I miss them? I have blessed them so much. They have forgotten me. I said, Jesus, I can sing a little bit. I'm not a preacher. He said, I didn't ask you to preach. I said, what do you want me to tell them? He said, would you tell them? He said, I've got so much more. But oh, how they have neglected my home and have left it in shambles. This is my place of worship, a place called the altar. It's in shambles. Will you rebuild it for me? I said, how do I do this? He said, it is very easy. He said, because you see in John 12:24, it says, until a kernel of seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains on its own. But till it dies, it produces many seeds. He said, are you willing to die for me? Oh, you see, because you see, the most incredible time for a farmer is the harvest time, because he's toiled and everything. But for the seed, it's not a very exciting time, because you see, the seed is out there and it's just blowing in the wind, looks just the right color. And it tells God, tells the master farmer, don't you like me? Look at me, I just have the right color. Oh, I'm swaying just the right way. Look at the sun just shining on me. Don't cut me down, because you see, I am looking really good for you, God. Don't you like the way I look? Oh, no. The thing that really impresses him, when we are cut off from the root, and he says, will you die for me? And then only I know what is in you, and I can birth out of you with many more. Anymore. You want to see Lake City saved for Jesus? Are you willing to die for Jesus? Because you see, when the disciples came, when Jesus was on earth, they thought, oh yes, our Messiah has come, our King has come. Guess what? We will take over the Roman Empire. He's going to demolish them all, and he's going to take over the world and all this stuff. Oh, but he kept reminding them over and over again. He said, I'm not come over here for a throne, but my place is the cross. If I don't die, you will never know me. You will never know me. And if you want to see League City get to know Jesus, come at his altar. Because you see, every time you study, when the fire fell, his glory fell and his anointing fell. And when he just touched the place, it was not in a building. It was not out in the field. It was nowhere else. But when they built an altar, then only it came down. Because if you don't have an altar, where are you placing your sacrifice? This. God has asked me to resign from everything that puts me in a comfort zone. He says, get out. I have resigned from every position there is. I said, what do you want, God? He said, I want you to sign up with me so I can put my approval. And your job is the only thing I want you to do is, will you make my altar famous again? Will you make my altar famous again? Why? Because you see, when the pilgrims came, when they stepped on the shores of Virginia, the very first thing they did was built an altar. And they said, God, you are going to be our king. We were the second people that made a promise, and we have been so neglected with that promise. We have absolutely broken that promise, because the first people was the people of Israel when God delivered them out of Egypt, and we were the second one. That's why there is no place like the United States of America. Why? Because our nation is birthed on the altar of God. God brought me here to the United States of America, a product of his mission field, for one thing. And one thing alone is to see my America saved before he comes to take us home. God did not give the United States of America to bless them so that later on Satan could drag it to hell. Oh, you see, we're so worried for November the 2nd about voting who's going to be our president. Oh, we would never have to worry about that. But if we would make this place important, nobody could ever stand against us. We would never have another pagan up there to tell us what to do. We would never have pagans for leaders who will tell us, in God we don't trust no more. Oh, no, 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 no. But when we make this place famous, they will be trembling and shaking while we will be standing our ground and saying, you will bow, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Oh, and that same chapter says, if you would lift me up, I will draw all men unto me. Hey, come on, let's wake up, America. We got to reach this nation, and the only way we can reach it, if you are willing to pay this price at this place, call the altar of God, and this house called the house of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, if we would just do those two things, and that will just satisfy his heart, I promise you, when that fire will fall, our neighborhoods called the League City will come to know Jesus. They'll come running, as in 1 Kings chapter 18, 39, it says, and the people begin to scream at the top of their voices, the Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God. And the only way that will happen, if we're willing to die at that altar of my Father, he loves to inhabit. He's tired of visitation. America, he's tired of visiting you because you have begun to use him like a vending machine. He's looking for places now where he will inhabit. He's looking. I don't come to you as a politician. I don't come to you as a musician. I don't come to you as a superstar or a musician. But I come to you this morning as a postman with registered letters with your name on it. What are you going to do for League City to meet your master? And the only way we will meet him is at this altar. Would you help us make his altar famous again? Because if you asked our senior citizens, they would say, oh boy, I remember the church. When we used to have such incredible time, the power of God would fall and all this stuff. Oh, now we're not singing anymore. No, 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 wait a minute. Don't give up on us, Grandma. Don't give up on us, Grandpa. Because you see, we are going to make this altar famous. And you thought in your days it was really great. Wait for the ladder. Oh, when the Holy Spirit falls and that fire falls, it hits the ground. It'll go running, and before the people could make it into our parking lots, they'll be hitting the ground under conviction, saying, God, you are Lord. Lord, you are God. You are mighty. We are so sorry. I need your help desperately. It has become my drive. I don't want to leave the United States. Every time I get out of the United States, I can't wait to get back because I don't want to miss out. I said, God, don't hold on. Let me get back. Let me get back. Then you can do it because I want to be a part of it. I try to cancel out everything that goes international. I can't cancel out. One of them is in October. I'm getting to go to Papua New Guinea, New Zealand, and Australia, but I can't wait to come back already. Because I want to see my America saved. I can't see my America being dragged to hell. I cannot. God did not give us America for it to be dragged to hell. We are going to fight. Some looking for men and women who are willing to build this coalition with me, to hold hands and say, Robert, from this day onward on September 5th, 2004, I promise you between God and us that we will make this our heart's desire and passion to make His altar famous again and to watch our communities come to Jesus Christ. You won't even have to do a thing. They will be coming. Because then it won't be about you. It'll be about Him. And He will get all the glory. Because if I do it, then I will write a book and things so that I'll be on TBN. And people will be following and having cell groups and all this madness. No. We won't be having any cell groups. Or we won't have any groups at all because it'll be one big group. Would you help me? I'm going to every part of the United States of America. It's become my drive, my passion to beg every church. Would you hold hands with me? And let's win our America. This is my America. This is my mission field. And nobody's going to tell me the way I can worship God and when I can use God's name, not in vain, but God's name in authority. And I will stand the ground as long as there's breath left in me. No devil in hell can stand before us. Because you see, we serve a God and God alone who's going to help us defeat all of these pagans that we have allowed in our nation. Let the walls come crumbling down. Down, and they will come running to know, who is this Jesus you're talking about? Who? And we can do it. But we have to come together, just like they were in the upper room. One accord. One accord. I want to sing one more song. Wow. Sorry, Pastor. I went over. I didn't say that. I hope you know the passion in my heart. I don't care about my singing. I don't care about anything. All I care about is to see my America come to Jesus. I'm not interested in the lights. I'm not interested in the bank balance. I'm not interested in all of this, you know, hoopla. All I'm interested is, do you know my Jesus? Let me introduce you to Him. Do you know Him? So I beg you this morning, I can't do this alone. I'm looking for men and women who has built this coalition with me. And join hands and meet me at this altar while I sing this song.
Lord.
Come. Give me a little more music, sir, please. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Thine is the kingdom forever. Thank you, God, for your love and your grace. Father, I thank you for the ones that have come to your altar, who are willing to build this coalition. Of God, let your guardian angels camp around them. Holy Spirit, would you guide us, direct us? I pray, oh God, birth within them a brand new passion for the hurting and the lost in League City. Father, all we want to do is to bring glory to your name. We thank you and we honor you. And we bless your most incredible name, Jesus. Amen.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It only works as that nation at the altar lays their lives under the authority of a holy God. I sense this morning a shifting in the wind. I believe that for years we have made the altar more about us than about Him. If you study the altar through the Old Testament, you'll see that the altar was a place for Him. We've turned it into a place for us. And I believe that God is calling the American church to arise and shine. And I, for one, am thrilled to hear a passionate voice who will boldly proclaim from the office that God has given to them that it's time for America to return to its roots and be that nation birthed under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We've set aside this whole month of September to be a time of awareness for our congregation. As you leave this morning, in just a moment, you'll see that there is a registration table. If you're not registered to vote, we want to encourage you to cast your vote, to cast your bread upon the waters in this upcoming election. There's a little brochure out there that will give to you an education as to what each party, the Republican and the Democratic Party, and what that party stands for and what their platform is. We want to enter this season in time, not just aware of what God's desire is for the White House, but how about where revival begins? Where does revival begin? In our house. And so this morning at the altar, would you just cast your vote for your house? Would you just do that right now? Would you partner in this time? And would you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. The revival of our nation will begin in my home, and we will return our home to be a place of prayer. They can vote it out of the public schools, but they can't vote it out of my home and out of my life. I return my life to this altar, and I allow it to alter me once again, because I desire to be a house of prayer, a house of purity, and a house of righteousness, filled with the peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen. And amen. Raise your hands if you're sure. Just raise your hands if you're sure. Shout, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'm sure. And as you're returning to your seats, we'd like to take a moment to bless the ministry of Robert Solomon and his wife, Riette.